So yes, we know there's spiritual hearing. Then there is a spiritual sense of smell. Paul talks about us having the aroma of Christ, the fragrance of Christ. And he talks about how an offering unto God has a flavor unto him. The Philippian offering in Philippians chapter 4 had a sweet, was a sweet smelling savour unto God. And in Corinthians it talks about us having the fragrance of Christ. And for us is a fragrance of Christ. For to the world, if they feel it like an aroma of death, because there's condemnation when there's the spirit of death and darkness causes it to be perceived that way. But there is a spiritual fragrance that is there. So there is a spiritual sense of smell that is there. Then we have also a spiritual sense of taste. In the book of Psalms, David says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good." There is an area of taste. And then we know there is an area of touch. There is lightness or heaviness, all this in the spirit area that we feel. And we are not teaching on those five senses. We have other tips teaching on the five senses, and we explain in great detail. But what we are pointing at is that you could develop it into the teaching in the book of James chapter 1 to 5, where each chapter speaks about development of one of those senses. And it's not actually speaking about those senses, but the meaning behind those senses. Each of our senses got certain meaning. For example, the sense of sight speaks about vision. A sense of hearing speaks about the relationship that we have in hearing Him. And the sense of smell, the nose, always speaks of discernment and judgment. And the mouth always speaks about praises, worship, and the power of words. And then touch speaks about the spiritual realm of feelings and experience. All these five different realms. In the book of James, chapter 1, it speaks about the vision. It touched also on the hearing, which moves on, moves us also into chapter 2 on the hearing area. In James chapter 1, it talks about us having the correct vision. We see the word of God. We hear and we see the word. So James chapter 1 and 2 is combined together. In verse 22, James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man," and now he talk about sight, "observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself and goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he is. He looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does." So the sense of sight and the sense of hearing work together. But in James chapter 1, he primarily emphasizes on the sense of sight. And in James chapter 2, he primarily emphasizes on the sense of hearing. Hearing correctly. So important to hear correctly that you can perform and do. As you hear, you do. As Abraham heard, the example is in Abraham. Abraham is one who shows forth that kind of character. As he hear God, and he hear God's command to leave the land of Ur, he left, and he went by faith, and God took him into the land of Canaan. Obedience comes through hearing, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And so, the acting of faith, the walk of faith, which is found in chapter 2, demands an accurate hearing. So, chapter 1 is the eye, chapter 2 is the ears. Chapter 3 is the mouth. Chapter 4 is the nose. Talks about judgment and discernment. Although the word nose is not exactly inside. But you can go through a team study in that. I'm just giving you enough tips to go further. And in James chapter 5 is the feelings. And the word feelings is especially mentioned. It talks about how Elijah, a man of like nature like us, and it can be developed further. We could do a tremendous study on the five senses in the book of James. Just to show that the book of James is the first of the general epistles, and he's trying to speak about the perfection of the inner five senses. When they are perfected, we are matured. The general epistles are concerned about the individual perfection of the Christian. The church epistles is concerned about the perfection of the church. The pastoral epistles are concerned with the perfection of the ministry. Now the general epistles are concerned with the perfection of the Christian as an individual. We have to develop this area too. And these three must flow in harmony. Perfection of Christian life, perfection in church life, perfection of ministry life. When they flow together, we have the perfect church that God wants us to have. James chapter 1 speaks about the perfection of sight and all those things that are required in order to have perfection of sight. We have all the many things here, and let me just give a few clues. One is we need wisdom. Two is we need testing of our faith. We need to go to testing for the vision to be perfected. That means there need to be some exercise of faith that needs to flow forth. And three, as he said here in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. There need to be a light that comes to shine. The greater the light, the more clearly you can see. And some of you who have very poor eyesight, if it's a very strong light, you find that you see clearer, even though your eyesight is poor. So there is a relationship between the intensity of light and your ability to see. And of course, besides verse 21, laying aside all these other things. But to show you some of the qualities that take to build up vision. And in chapter 2, some of the qualities that takes us to build the area of hearing. Although they began to introduce a subject in chapter 1, but primarily the basic teaching of developing hearing is found in chapter 2. And at first you look, there's nothing there. It seems apparent, but there is. Number 1, learn to obey God in small little things, in showing mercy. Talks about showing mercy and compassion. Small things, you must not be impartial. You must not show partiality, you must be impartial. And when you are a person who hear carefully and are careful of little things, and you hear God on small things, and God teaches you about being impartial and not showing partiality here and hypocrisy, and you're more careful than others, your hearing will be so sharpened that God will show you bigger things that you can hear from Him. All the keys to develop hearing are found here. I'm just giving some samples out. In chapter 2, it speaks about action. Verse 19, even the demons believe, tremble, but they don't do anything else. It says, but we believe and we act. As we hear and obey, our hearing becomes more accurate. For we are able to increase in our power to hear, for we have tested out what we heard. So that's another point there. Then there are two people that are mentioned here. One is Abraham, one is Rahab. And the clue is given to you, study these two lives and you begin to see examples of developing spiritual hearing. Sometimes they miss, sometimes they did not miss. Rahab, of course, there's not much of a story except in the book of Joshua. But Abraham is quite a detailed story in the book of Genesis. Sometimes he missed, sometimes he didn't miss. And sometimes, if you remember, he hearkened to the voice of his wife and he got into trouble. But at another time, he hearkened to the voice of his wife and he got out of the trouble. So hearing, many examples are there. So these are some areas that we could approach this study in James chapter 1 to 5 on looking at the five senses and how it develops in our life. But tonight we're going to just look at five important principles for the Christian to grow into perfection. And not just studying those five senses that are present here. Of course, we need to develop our vision, we need to develop our hearing, we need to develop our discernment, and we need to develop the area of our speaking and our speech, and we need to develop in the area of our spiritual feelings or sensation. But behind each one of them is one major principle that we want to focus on, and that is vitally important. So in chapter 1 of the book of James, it focuses on when a Christian enters, and let's look at the general episode from the Christian life point of view. Any Christian that gets born again, there will be struggles in their life. And that's where we learn to handle each one of these struggles. And there are these different, I call them mysteries, that they have to wrestle with and deal with. The first is in the area of temptation. Temptation. Overcoming temptation. And so in verse 2 to 5, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. But let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Verse 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren," he says. The first area, as we confront James chapter 1, and it ties to the side, we realize that all temptation has always sought to come through the eye gate. The eye gate. If you think about any area in your life that you have been tempted, it has been through the eye gate. Something you see that you want and you cover it. That's why the two are related. If we could overcome temptation, then we have consecrated our vision. If we yield to temptation, then there's no energy to see and develop our vision in God. Every Christian is given a special promise that says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." If you examine the Beatitudes, although there are more than five Beatitudes, the Beatitudes have all the five senses found inside them. There's another study altogether in the blessed pronouncement by Jesus in Matthew 5. Let's look at one of them. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." It may not mean that we may have a direct open vision, but it is my personal belief that It may not be God's will that everyone have an open vision of Jesus, but in God's own special way, maybe in a dream, maybe in the inner eyes of your spirit, maybe in the inner eyes of your soul, and in the corridors of your imagination.